traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Hey, racing fans, Steve Wolf here, of course, and our founder and co-host of Flying Turn, Scott Miller's with us. Hey, Scott, how's it going?
Oh, it's going good, Steve. I tell you, you know, could be worse, could be better, but, you know, we got up on the right side of the track this morning, and we're ready to roll. What you got for
I think today? So. Boy, do we have stuff. The latest flash just came in, I guess, half an hour ago, that the horse people that are stabled or working at Pompano Park have 12 days to vacate the premises. Now, I would think that right now they can't, I don't think they can even leave the state or go to another racetrack up north because no one's going to accept them until this virus situation.
If they leave now, Steve, and there's still time in the season, at Pompano, you know, to run all through the summer, would they come back or they just stay gone?
I have no idea. I mean, because this is such current news, I don't know what the ramifications are going to be. Because, you know, Pompano Park raced last night. Now they're stopped. That's it for the season until further notice. And of course, you know, you're right in March when racing can be at its best. Same as Gulfstream Park, who's just racing for the fans, or just racing for simulcasting, but apparently they want to vacate the premises, the aisle, and so everyone's been given their notice for 12 days.
Well, you know, the tough part about it is I was talking to some of the horsemen here, both thoroughbred show horses and standardbred people, and, you know, it disrupts their whole training schedule. You know, they got to sit down and, you know, rethink what they're doing, the logistics of it, what can they do and what can't they do. You know, it's going to be awful tough.
Oh, no, I think it's a very serious situation, especially for the owners of these horses, because their horses, even if they're standing in the stall or just getting walked, they still got to be fed and cared for and pay a bill, and then having a horse that's ready to race and not being able to race, you know, is a tough thing. I have a list going here, which I got started yesterday, of the tracks that are racing. I mean, okay. Currently in harness racing in the United States, Cal Expo out in Sacramento, California, Hawthorne Racecourse in Chicago, Miami Valley Raceway in Ohio, Northfield Park, I had Pompano on the list, but Pompano just canceled. The Rosecroft Raceway in Maryland and Saratoga Raceway in New York. And they're all racing with, what do we call it now, fanless, without any spectators. Owners are not allowed to come in the paddock. They're just going to race and have the simulcasting. But, again, Pompano was on that list until yesterday. But now I'm a little surprised that they're evicting everybody because it's a hardship. Where are they going to go? But but the same vein, I guess, if you look at it, they're probably figuring, well, there's no racing going on, and we give these stalls, and they have to pay, you know, minimal, you know, whether it's $100 a month per stall or something, as long as the horses are racing. But just telling them to evict is, I mean, let's ask the basic question. Sunshine Meadows, Equestrian Village. Are there stalls for the 150 horses that are being evicted?
No way. We've been filled up since last September. And
see now, and
over Palm Beach Downs.
Okay, and how about? I mean, do we know about the Olympia Training Center? The Sun, or used to be the Trotting Center.
I think that they might have some stalls available. But I'm sure they'll be taken up with the horses from Pompano.
Yeah, because I'm not sure how many horses are in the backstretch at Pompano. And and of course, there's the groom situation. They have dormitories that have been there forever, and people that have lived in them for many, many years. It's their home there. And now they're evicting them. I haven't been able to get any confirmation on that. But if the horses are going to go, if they're going to let the groom stay, I don't know, but I hope they'll do the right thing. But all the other tracks I mentioned, everyone else has closed. And in Canada, the tracks are mostly racing, especially Woodbine Mohawk. I mean, that's the premier track. But, my God, there's hundreds and hundreds of racehorses that are just standing in their stalls.
Oh, you're exactly right, Steve. And like here with us, we're very fortunate. We're having what they call a qualifier tomorrow for the horses that we're getting ready to go up north, which they all have to qualify, you know, before they can be entered into any races at the tracks. And then we have our track here, which is it's a mile track and a 5/8 track that we have. So, you know, they can train here and stay at that, you know, stay at a good high quality level of training. And then Palm Beach Down, we do the same thing over there. They're called works, so they can work there. And, you know, and then, of course, we have our show horse rings that are here. And we can literally, we have enough horses here on the premises that we can conduct our own horse shows, but you got to stand 6 feet away. You know, you can't take a bunch of people up. And this was a unique thing that I thought that really, it's a good thing, but it's very difficult on the personnel. When you go to a thoroughbred track now, and you're allowed to train there like you are at Churchill or, you know, Pimlico or what have you, you get an orange band. They test you. They give you a temperature, take your temperature, put an orange band on your hand, and you're allowed to go into to the barn. And you can't go to any other barn. You have to stay in your barn, and once you leave, that orange band is void. You know, so that's how they do that, you know.
You're getting it. Well, it's tough measures to go through.
Yes.
I don't know what the future is going to hold because the 2-year-olds, I mean, they've got to, they can only train down at the training center so much, and if they're going to get ready or if the races are going to be postponed, we don't know what the future is going to be. Or, you know, well, you know, the big news in Thoroughbred came out on Tuesday with the Derby. Tell us about that.
Oh, well, you know, see, what happened is the Thoroughbred management of the different tracks got together, and they said, what can we do, you know, to, you know, avoid this? Certainly with 250,000 people coming to the Derby and, you know, over 200,000 to the Preakness and Belmont, you know,
Scott, I think that's 100,000 for the Derby.
No, it's 200. That's just the infield. Yeah. Well, what happened is they, you know, took all this into consideration, and so they moved everything to September 5th. And
okay.
So the Derby will be September 5th, and then 2 weeks later, the Preakness, and 3 weeks, you know, the Bowman.
Oh, okay. So they are going to all move in sync.
Right.
They're not going to switch the order.
Right. They're not going to do
that.
Okay. And so, you know, and that's the way they're doing that. And they're trying to adjust. Now, like a week from this Saturday is the Florida Derby. The Louisiana Derby's this week at the fairgrounds in New Orleans. But nobody's going to be there, you know, other than just the horse people and, you know, that type of thing. And then there was an issue about the television and radio aspect of it. You know, a lot of the networks didn't want to do anything because, you know, they just didn't know what and how to do it, you know. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what's going to happen. You know, with week by week, I guess.
Well, it's also going to depend on the different states. I mean, or it can depend on the government. I mean, some states have shut everything down. States are allowing, you know, like in New York, Saratoga is the only track that's operating. Of course, it's fanless down here. Mm-hmm. Gulfstream is, but if the governor says no more, I mean, no more racing, I think that's going to get shut down too, because no matter how many precautions you take, you've got, you know, a lot of people in the paddock and everything.
Right. Well, Steve, I'll give you an idea of today. The first race just went off at Gulfstream. And the total wagering dollar on that first race was $977,000.
There you go.
And that's with no fans there. That's just, you know, through your OTBs and what have you.
Well, sure. And they put Gulfstream puts on a great show, and the fans are stuck at home. They're looking for something, sports, anything. I mean, I was going to consider getting five or six red-eared slider turtles and putting a saddle pad on each one and running my own races, you and I.
Yeah.
You'll make a ring, and the first one out of the ring wins, and we'll do odds and everything else, and people will want to bet on it, that's for sure.
Well, I watched General Hospital about 20 years ago with my grandmother. So I tuned in today, didn't have anything, and Victor, that was in the hospital on death's door 20 years ago, is just now getting out of the hospital, you know. So it's rough here, you know, at the farm and all. But no, all kidding aside, it's a serious virus that we have. You know, we have to go without a lot of things and a lot of events, you know, like sporting events, you know, to make sure that this thing gets stopped, you know, right away. You know, especially for the horsemen. You know, we're dealing with people from all over the world, from Sweden, Norway, Germany, France, you know, Canada, here in the States. And it's just, it's scary.
It is.
Well, go
ahead.
If they go to, like, IENTV.org, Harness Link, if you go to all the racetracks, they have updates on what's going on, you know. And that's the best thing to do is educate yourself and pay attention to, you know, all the releases that come out every day.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, you have to follow it, whether you're on Facebook or listening to the news or whatever. You got to keep a situation, because I know they're not allowing horses and people to move from one track to another. And I guess it sort of bothers me. I can't get an answer on the Pompano situation, because I feel bad that if they're evacuating everything, that's not right. I mean, the people should stay put.
Right. Well, you know, again, it goes back to, you know, hopefully they got farms that they can go to, you know, that where they are still able to train and everything. But, you know, there's so many things that are involved from an agricultural standpoint. We touch every, in the equine industry, we touch everything in a community, the Burger Kings, the malls, the Walmarts, you know, the grocery stores. And I got to thinking, you know, is this going to be a death blow to the industry? You know, and like a lot of people have been saying. And then I was reading this morning that the General Assembly approves renovation of Pimlico and Laurel. They want to keep, you know, their tradition going. They're going to bail out. Well, I shouldn't say bail out, but they're going to assist Pimlico and Laurel and all the horse industry in Maryland, you know, with a good financial structure. And because the governor realized that the horse industry touches so many people, that it would be devastating if you lost, you know, that revenue.
Right. And you know, each day that this continues, these tracks and everyone, these racetracks, the horsemen involved, the trainers, the grooms, everyone, it's just going to make it more and more difficult. It's not like you can just make up days and hold these events. And you have horses on a schedule and where they're going to race, and now everything is going to start getting backed up. I mean, a track that I work for up in Quebec, Three Rivers, they've had to postpone their May 2nd opening. So now, if things don't clear up till July or August, you know, they can't race, you know, everything within the season, because by November it gets so cold and wet and starting to snow up there. I mean, we've never lived through this before. That's what it is.
Right. Are they still training there?
They are, yeah, when they can get in the track. I know they were fortunate the other day. They were going to get upwards of a foot of snow, and apparently it got a little warmer and turned it to rain, so they're still able to get out. They actually have had a mild winter in Canada, so you know, which is a good thing for them. Only now we have the virus, and that shut everything down. It's just that I think I don't know how the trainers will you know, be able to cope, or the owners will be able to cope with the bills that they're getting. But there's also, if this continues for as long as it can or might, that the entire stake season will be lost.
Well, you're right about that. And you know, Steve, when you think about it, the horsemen, they stay in hotels and as they travel and so forth. And, you know, a lot of the hotels are closed and laying people off. But the one good thing about all of this, if you're in the horse business, you know, in the United States or anywhere, life still goes on every day, whether you're racing or not. Racing is a great part of it, but those horses still have to be trained. They still have to be bathed. They have to be fed and taken care of. You know, so we're kind of fortunate in that respect that we're not going to have a lot of people, you know, laid off. You know.
Sure. Let me tell you this. Europe, United Kingdom, all over in Europe is doing the same as us. They're closing down. And all the racetracks in Europe have stopped racing, except in Sweden. They're still racing there.
Now, why is that?
Well, I think they're doing the same thing. I think they have fanless racing at the Solvalla and one or two of the other tracks. So they're doing the same thing that Woodbine and them, you know, no fans, just the grooms and trainers and drivers are allowed to come into the paddock, and then they're racing for, you know, for making simulcast dollars. But everywhere else in Europe, the tracks are all closed.
You know, when you just said simulcast, you know, eventually, to be honest with you, that could become the mainstay. You know, of the racing industry for, you know, standardbreds, quarter horses, and thoroughbreds.
Yes.
You know, because you can do wagering from your own home, like at twinspires.com, and you can go to them, and once you join with them, you can watch, you know, the racing live, you know, and so, you know, you might have to turn that man cave into an OTV.
Yeah, there you go. A lot of people on their cable get the TVG, and they run, I'm guessing now, whatever tracks are open, they're going to feature them. So, but there are parts, I know we talked earlier in the day, there are parts of the world that have not really got the virus. The only trouble is there isn't much horse racing there. And I think we're talking Africa and South America.
Oh, you're exactly right, you know. And another thing that, you know, we haven't touched on yet is like the Keeneland sales, the Facet Tipton sales. They shut down all the sales. And, you know, these sales are an intricate part of, you know, an owner's financial plan. You might have a good two-year-old that could bring, you know, $500,000 or $1 million at the sales. And now they have no outlet to sell it because there's no way to showcase.
Right. And then all the owners and trainers that are out there with their two-year-olds, and what they do is they end up racing their season and making the money that they're going to buy those yearlings with. Well, if they don't make any money with these two-year-olds that don't get to race, how they're not going to have any money to buy yearlings with.
You're exactly right.
It's like dominoes in reverse. You know, instead of everything, you know, falling down in line, it's breaking apart, and it's all because of this virus.
Well, I was talking to Rick and Liz over at the tack shop this week about what they were going to do, and they were talking about, you know, taking the proper precautions. And they had a huge influx of people coming in, you know, to shop that never seen before. because they, you know, they didn't want to travel or, you know, get around. And they were even talking about shutting the shop down, the tax shop down, and only doing orders, you know, phone orders and deliveries. And, you know, some, you know, that would help them some, but it still hurts.
Oh, no, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, but then again, as I said, I'm laid off on two of them and two positions right now. And I don't know how many people are out of work. Fortunately, my wife's a school teacher and she's in the office of my house conducting class online.
Right. Well, you know what, Steve? I tell you what. With the way things are going and everything, and with the help from BBS and from you and from Patricia Ann and some other people, we might be able to get the 30-minute programs going here every day on each one of the equestrian breeds, and we'll give them something to do all day.
Right.
So when are we going to start seeing flying turns on TV? Those two good-looking guys that do the radio.
Oh, my God. I was just going to tell you, Scott, remember when we agreed to do this that we both have faces for radio.
You got that right. You know, yeah, I was so excited when we started, you know, doing this radio thing with BBS and all like that. I went out and I got me a haircut and got me a new shirt and, you know, did the whole nine yards, you know, and that's how excited I was about it. So, and it still didn't help.
Oh.
Well, see, when is the next big standard bred race for flying turns?
Well, I've looked on the schedule, and other than some early closers, and they are just little mini series that Northfield Park and Miami Valley. There are no stake races. I mean, the biggest ones we've been waiting for was to be the Borgata MGM series at Yonkers. That's for the older Pacers, free-for-all Pacers. In fact, they drew for the first weekend of the series, and they had, I think, five divisions for $50,000 each, but that got thrown out. And the same with the blue chip matchmaker Chartnen, who we saw, you know, win her first race in 150 flat. You know, what a way to start off the year for the Harness Horse of the Year. Now she's sitting in the stall in Delaware. She has no place to race. And this series at Yonkers was 6 weeks long. I think it's five. 5 weeks of elimination races and then the rich finals. So that's been put on. Everything's on the shelf.
Yeah. Well, you know, Steve, when we started this thing, you know, years ago and the concept that we had, you know, for it, as you and I talked over the years, you know, I think we're in a position now that we can kind of take it up a notch for us, you know, to do what we're going to do. I've talked to several of the racetracks, the thoroughbred tracks, and, you know, their whole thing is getting their product out there. And I think between IEN and the racetracks, we might be able to put together a, you know, a YouTube or video show, you know, for like At the Wire and Flying Turns, that type of thing. Because they're trying to keep their people employed at the track. And the only way they can do, you know, from the racing end of it, is to broadcast their program. And there's several outlets, you know, that they have. But, you know, we're going to put together a package that you and I will talk about, you know, the races that day, and then they will provide us with the feed from the races from their own production department. And they're going to expand their production department so they can do that. And I know that NYRA just signed a deal with Fox Sports, you know, to do racing.
And I was just going to tell you, I forgot, late yesterday, NBC Sports, who's in need of live broadcasting content, has now made a deal with TVG,
Right.
And
right.
that's going to start Saturday and Sunday. So I'm trying to think. Oh, Aqueduct in New York will be racing, so that'll be on there. And Harness right. Racing will do the same thing. There's actually a story in the New York Times today, and it has to do with close the schools and bars and stay home, but keep the horses racing.
That's
in other
right.
words, horse racing is still happening for fans that want to wager and watch online. And the guy doesn't say if it's bad or good that there's still racing going on, because he covers both of the aspects and says people are looking for things going on, so it's good that horse racing. And like we had talked about before, this guy did his homework. He knows that there's racing in Australia, Louisiana, Texas, yeah. harness racing in Canada, Sweden, Ohio, and one track in New York. And then there's Aqueduct in Santa Anita and Gulfstream. And other than that, there isn't too much else going on.
Well, you know,
yeah,
exactly. And, you know, like, for example, you know, the race fans out there now, they can go out and via an advance deposit on some wagering platforms, they'll be able to, you know, they'll be able to find, you know, where they can gamble at. And
yeah, exactly. There's a lot of sites and the people, you know, there's instructions to help them, you know, get on there because
right.
they don't actually have to wager. They can go on there and you know, watch what's going on and see it for free, whether it's harness, whether it's thoroughbred, and if they wish to, sure, they can put $50 in the in their account,
right?
And then have a little fun,
right? Well,
I mean,
you know,
it's better than stripping apart the a room and having to paint it or something.
Oh, exactly. Well, starting tomorrow, we're gonna have some new things on our website that I've been working on, and it's gonna be good. You know, we'll be able to notch it up every week. You know, within the next 2 weeks, they'll be able to see our faces on some of these programs. You know,
oh my!
And, and it's gonna be you know, really good. There's a lot of ways that you can go and watch the racing. Now, you know, we're not concerned with, you know, the betting entity of it, because each track has their own system and their own platform, you know, and so that's one good thing that's going to help us. But it's going to keep us busy, you know, keeping up with these races and everything. For example, the road to the Kentucky Derby, you have to have X number of points to get into the Derby. So the tracks are making decisions whether to keep running or not. Now, like the Louisiana Derby Saturday, they're
right.
going to run it, and those points still go towards the Derby, you know, entry. And then they're going to have the Florida Derby. After that, you know, I don't know what they're going to do with those races.
Well, what's happening is people are realizing, you know, when they say, why are these tracks open? Why are they allowing racing to take place? Well, they have to understand that, and I'll use Aqueduct as an example. They're racing. They have an open-air paddock area, which is good considering the virus. They have less than 50 people, you know, that are there, because each race goes off and then they have to go to their respective barns, so they're
right.
really not commingling as much. But what's happening is, of course, every dollar of a horse race brings taxes and revenue to each of the states. And I'm trying to think which one it was. Oh, TVG in the last week has seen a 75% increase in wagering
right.
on their site, which is unbelievable. And last weekend at Aqueduct, they wagered $17.5 million.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, and there isn't a lot of taxable items and things taking place. So these,
right.
you know, these tracks going is, of course, in our industry is a great thing. I just wish that they could be done at other places, at least to keep all the jobs and everything. the New York Racing Association says that horse racing in New York supports the jobs of up to 19,000 people.
Oh, sure.
That's just the state of New York. Start adding that up around the country, people would be surprised how intricate the horse racing life is on the economy.
Right. Well, see, that's why Maryland, did what they did to help, the racing and show horses in Maryland, because it's, it's an important part of what they do. And, like I said earlier, the first race at Gulfstream, through simulcasting, $977,000, and they're going to have, they'll go over the $5 million mark by the sixth or seventh race. And they're generating that on a Thursday. That's not including Saturday,
right, exactly,
when all the big races are coming up, and that's why it's important for them, from a distribution standpoint, to get their product out to as many people as they can on as many platforms as they can.
You're right. And another update just came in, Scott. I know we talked about it earlier with the moving of the Derby to September 5th.
Right.
Well, apparently the Preakness and the Belmont Stakes, those management groups for those stake races, they have not yet decided if they're going to follow the Derby into the fall.
Now, that's a major issue.
Yeah, that's all of a sudden popped up, and now that's, a situation. Because at first I thought maybe those races would be held, they would switch the order. But now they're talking, that they're not in agreement with the Derby. So we'll have to see what happens.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting, because you got to remember that takes away the potential of any Triple Crown winner ever again.
Oh, I know. It makes it a big thing. In fact, the only other time the Derby and Triple Crown was disturbed was during World War II.
Mm-hmm. Right. Steve, the other day we were talking, should we let our listeners in on our little secret that we found about memorabilia?
I think so. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, when I talked to Steve the other day, it was interesting. I woke up in the middle of the night. I jumped online, and I went to a company in Louisville, Kentucky called Caulfield's. And they sell memorabilia from Irish party favors to Kentucky Derby, Preakness, and Belmont. And it just hit me. I ordered glasses from the Derby for the Preakness and the Belmont this year, and they're all dated with their appropriate date, 5/2/2020. Even though it never did run, and they're going to have to make a whole new group of glasses for September 5th. And I just don't see anybody scratching off May and putting September 5th on these glasses. So, if they go to Caulfields.com, they can, get them some memorabilia, but it might be worth a little bit.
Oh, it could. It could very well be. I remember, now we're going back some. May 4th, 1984, a fire broke out and Freehold Raceway had burned to the ground. And I had been working for the Horses Association down the street at the American Hotel in downtown Freehold. I've been working there only 5 days. But in the course of a few months after the fire, they came back and raced under simulcast bubbles. And what happened, a gentleman was so happy that the track was coming back and racing again that he donated and did 1,000 glasses that had a picture of the fire on it, of the track burning down. And I still have one, thank goodness. But yeah, like you said, that was a little bit rough, but what a souvenir item that is today.
You got that right. Well, Steve, the whole thing of it is not only has it hit us from an economic standpoint, from a historical standpoint in the horse industry. You know, it's going to affect the Triple Crown forever. You know, it's going to the Hamiltonian, the Little Brown Jug. You know, everybody has to change, and you're going to ask the question, what if? What if, you know, you win in the Derby on September 5th? What if you would run on May 2nd? Would you have won? You know?
I know.
You know, it's going to be
that's
very...
That's going to be a... Yeah, I mean, I'm just worried. I'm worried for the owners because they're everything to the sport. I mean, the fan, the betting fan. I mean, yes, everybody is important and everything, but what's going to happen to them economy wise? I mean, with the stock market crashing, I mean, we're heading in the very, very tough times, and I know I get worried because there's over 100,000 horses in the United States that are in racing or care or training. And right. I don't know what's going to happen if they keep shutting, you know, tracks down.
Well, just think about this. You know, look at the Keeneland sale, the Bassett Kipton sale, the
right.
Black Book sale in Harrisburg. You know how
yes,
huge those
know.
Are. Those
the
are all
Tattersalls
in
Kentucky.
Yeah. Yep. Those are all in jeopardy. You know, and when you take a bite out of somebody's income like that, they're not eligible. I mean, they're still eligible to sell the horses, you know, but then they have to look at it, you know, in a whole different manner. And, it's going to be tough.
Yeah, I don't know what the situation is. The only thing we can, you know, is hope for is an end to the confines of the virus and be able to go out and be in groups again.
Right.
I mean, and I know the President of the United States was on the talking live today about it. And, you know, there's no date in sight. They may have a possible cure. I don't know if it was a malaria cure or something that's about. But we got to get racing back because these horses
right.
just can't sit in stalls.
Well, one of the things that I was working on this morning here was our show called Last Call. It's about horse auctions for law breeds. And so the idea that I had for several different farms that have tracks on them, they literally could hold a sale on their farm via the internet.
Right.
You can see them train. You know, you can bid over the internet. You can bid by phone. They would limit to who came to actually, you know, visit the horses, you know, bid there live. That seems to be the sticking point. You know, you don't want
right.
a lot of people there to, you know, on the farm. But, you know, this is another avenue that you know, we can create to help offset, you know, the economic impact of this virus. And it's all about them on that farm. It's all about their horses. How they present it, how they deal with it, you know, is up to them. But it's another avenue to get their horses, you know, out for sale. Like, you know our friends there at OnGate. You know,
yes.
that's one of the greatest websites ever. You know, it's an eBay-style website for horses. And,
well, we got to talk about that, too.
Yeah, 24/7. You can get on there and you can watch.
Absolutely.
Watch who's going to be selling and how much there are.
If you go on it right now, you're going to see a bunch of horses for sale, a bunch of good horses for sale, because they have to break up the partnerships of all those people that got indicted.
That's true. And same for the thoroughbred. You know, all these horses. Well, first of all, a little update on the thoroughbred end of it.
Yeah.
this is, you know, the list continues to grow of people that were involved. And
uh-oh.
What they're doing now is the owners want to, you know, have their horses tested, you know, to see what's in the system. And the unusual thing about it is the medication that they were using takes anywhere
right.
from 90 days plus to get out of their system, and you just can't take them off of them. They have to be weaned off of them.
Exactly.
You know, and so when the owner finds out his horse has been on that, and knowing that for the next 90 days, you know, there's going to be a waiting period. And that's a long time to go with a racehorse not producing any income.
True. And when you're, I don't even know if they give you a blood work on it or not, but that's a long time for the horse to sit in jail and can't race.
Right. Well, you know, they were talking about maximum security in the Derby and then winning, you know, over in Dubai. You know, you're looking at $10 million plus in purse money that has to be reevaluated and possibly reallocated. You know,
absolutely. There's millions of dollars that's probably going to have to be paid out. You know,
yeah, it's going to
and collected. How are they going? What if they spend it all?
That's right. I already got me. I bought me a new farm, you know, with that money. But you know, the whole thing is that if you practice good, safe, daily habits, washing your hands, covering your mouth when you cough, that can go a long way.
That's right. I mean, just stay home. I mean, right. I understand you're holding these qualifying races, and to be honest,
right.
Why are you doing that? Because that just attracts people.
Yeah, you know, and well, now that you've said that, it's got me, now I know what the stick is for. Brandon came out here, the general manager at Sunshine Metals, gave me a stick, and it's 6 feet long. And he told me, he says, I don't want to see anybody standing next to each other. So not only do I pick up trash around here and mow grass and collect rent and do all the things that I do, now I've got a new job. I've got a stick with my name on it, 6 feet long. So watch out if you come out.
Okay. Any closer, or you'll poke them.
Yeah, that's right. That's on it. I'm telling you, that's going to be tough. But no, you're exactly right. You know, you can't do things that are going to gather a lot of people. You got to be careful on that. But I think with the with radio and television, this is a good outlet. And it might. And I'll be honest with you, I think it's an outlet that will last a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Because once people get into watching it at home in the comfort of their home, the only time they'll really want to go to the track is like on Saturday or when family comes in, or a big race is going on. Other than that, they could stay at home and not have to worry about parking or anything.
No, right. And they can still get the action. But it's not the same as live, but under the conditions, the present conditions, it's a pleasant distraction from the everything else going on.
Yeah. And one good thing about it is you know, when you leave the track, that long ride home, the traffic getting out to get to the interstates and what have you is just brutal. And then the other thing is you're broke, you got no money, you got to figure what drive to go through, And then when you get home, you got to explain why you're broke and had to go through the drive-thru, So now you can just stay at home, go from the couch to your bed and not worry about it.
Well, yeah, is there and do we know of any services out there that'll bring the food to you?
Oh yeah, it's funny. I was watching the other day and they said that like DoorDash and
right
will service you. That'll do that, and they're all over the country.
Are there any organization? Is there any place where I can go and just get one place to ship everything to me or shop for me?
Oh yeah, that's ship.com. They'll do that. But and there's also some partners that they have that will do food, like Ruby Tuesdays and Outback and places like that. DoorDash.
I got a thing from Ruby Tuesday inviting me for $5 to have all you can eat salad bar, but isn't that the wrong thing to do?
Yeah. Well, this was going to be interesting. How is Jimmy the driver going to get an endless salad bar into the back of his little car. Yeah. Okay. And we'll see what's happening.
Whoa. Well, now you're talking food, and I think we've got our guest with us.
Oh, exactly. Patricia, are you there?
I'm here. Hello. Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you guys doing?
Welcome. Good.
What are you doing for us today? What can you tell us about this virus, and how can you help us?
Well, this sure puts us in a pickle, doesn't it?
Yes, it sure
does.
This
whole virus thing, and we're postponing a little bit on the Chuck Wagon, which I'm hosting, and, you know, everyone's lives. You know, it's just like, seems to be the new normal, where we're kind of postponing everything, and it's been a big disappointment. And my friends and trainers over here at WEF aren't able to finish their last 2 weeks, so we've been working on that, right? Chuck Wagon.
Yeah.
Still working
on
it.
Exactly. And, you know, I was telling Steve earlier and all the other guys that we just did, IEN just did a deal with ship.com to give away a free membership on your show every month. And
how much is that?
I heard about that.
Yeah, they're normally $99, but if you come in, they'll give you a half price of $49. And the great part about it
is ship.com, right?
Ship.com, right. And the great part about it is there's no delivery fee. As long as you buy $35 worth of product, you know, the delivery fee is waived. And there's been times that I've ordered twice in 1 week. And it makes it nice for me because I get all my groceries delivered to me on Thursdays, which I have. I've got my order coming today at 4 o'clock. I'm all set for the weekend. I don't stand in line. I don't bother with the traffic. And even during this virus situation that we're in, they have been on time every time with my orders.
Well, with the current restrictions, this has become almost kind of our new normal right now.
Oh, exactly.
Ordering. And I just heard that even like Amazon is postponing some shipments and suspending. So, you know, that takes care of a lot of people who rely on that. But, you know, we still have an alternative shipped.
Right. Oh, exactly. And I got into the habit.
And it's still functioning and they're still going, right? There's no delays.
Right.
There's no
delays, no nothing. You just go online.
Good.
And when you order through them, the prices are the same price as they are in the store. So, you know, there's no added fee on the prices. But, see, I learned to get my groceries when I was
at
Belmont Park. And their little neighborhood grocery stores would deliver. And so, you know, I kind of got used to that. But, you know,
we need to support those local grocery stores right now.
Oh, exactly. And the great thing about this with Chuck Wagon, is any of the products or the things that you have on Chuck Wagon for us, they can order through Ship.
Now, how can our listeners enter this contest?
Well, they need to call into the show. If they call into the show, we'll select a winner every month, or they can email us at msmtv2019@gmail.com.
And the show, the phone number to call in is 323-744-4831, correct?
Yes, you got it. You got it.
Okay.
And so
so hear that today, listeners. Call in and win one free year, ship.com.
Right. And what are you going to have for us on that first show?
Well, first of all, most importantly, since we're talking about the yearly subscription of ship.com, we will announce the first winner on the proposed debut of Chuck Wagon on March 26th.
Okay. That sounds good.
Is that correct? I understand that's the plan, correct?
You're spot on.
All right. And so I'm actually really excited about that first show because as planned, it just is a coincidence that all of this is happening. We had planned on that first show to talk about how do we stock our RV. Now, I see all of my friends and everybody that I know posting, now what will I do for vacation? What will we do? Where will we go? We don't want to sit at home. What we have to do the social distancing now. And really, honestly, what better way to get out and get away than getting in your RV and going on a camping trip? Or even when some of this is lifted, I hear tell this there may be several rounds of this. And you may not want to stay in a hotel when you go to your horse event. You know, God willing, these our events pick up again and we get back to business soon. We may find that the best way to do that is going in the RV. And right. We have to learn how to, we're going to learn how to stock that RV, what supplies you need, et cetera, and especially what do you need to make a great meal while in your RV camping or at your horse event or equestrian event.
Now, whenever you start giving us the list and posting the list on the website, you know, where do you suggest to that our listeners go to, you know, get those products?
Well, I suggest, of course, Walmart and campground.
Yeah.
Is that campground.com?
Yeah, Camping World.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
Camping World. Yeah. Campground is like where you can look to see
right. Where
locations might be. But, yes, Camping World, campingworld.com. They have some great options that I had never even heard of, like collapsible bowls, collapsible cups, and most importantly, like collapsible wine glasses. You know, they make a collapsible wine glass.
Wow, that's awesome.
Love that.
Hey, you know what?
So, you know, when space is limited. On the RV, and you're not gonna. It's not your typical kitchen. It's a smaller version of your kitchen. So they have some great ideas on alternatives of what to bring with you.
Hey, Steve, have you got any recipes that we're gonna have her do since you've been to France?
Well, yeah, we're gonna have some. One of my favorites that my wife does is a pork chop baked bean roast.
Oh, man, that's good.
That sounds good.
Yeah, that.
Now, can that be done in a crock pot?
Yes. And well, she does it actually in the oven, but I think it can be done
okay. In
a crock pot. So, I absolutely
think
so.
That's what we're looking for.
But, something like that where you can just take... boneless pork chops and cook them in the we doctor up and make our own we call them molasses beans, but it's got molasses and syrup and it's utterly wonderful, and the pork chops when they come out they just melt in your mouth. So we're gonna make that for a crock pot.
That sounds great.
You know what, Steve, I think we're going to do? We're going to see how good Patricia Ann is with this chuck wagon deal. 6 months from now, if you and I have gained 10 or 12 pounds, we know she's successful on the show.
Well, that's true.
Well, I don't know if she should be gaining 10 or 12 pounds, Scott.
No, I want to lose 10.
Might not be a good idea, especially if you're going to... You gentlemen have great radio voices. Fantastic,
yeah.
Steve. Love it. But we need to get your camera ready.
Yeah,
that's right.
Well, we're gonna do that.
Right?
You know,
that's what I heard. I heard you say something about being on a makeover might be necessary, but definitely no more 10 pounds.
Yeah, we've got all the equipment here in house, and it's just a matter of implementing, the proper format, finishing up the deals, our YouTube channel and with our Facebook and getting it all scheduled and working with BBS. BBS also does, radio TV. They do a lot. If you go to their website and look, a lot of fantastic programs on there, good quality, and hopefully we'll be able to follow along in those footsteps there, to bring Chuck Wagon and all the other shows that we have. So, our dreaming days are over, guys. We got to start, making it happen.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, hopefully after this first show with stocking the RV, you know, after we reach that, we our theme is supposed to be following the race, the races and the shows and everything. And I have to have faith that it's going to come back, and we're going to be able to come back. If anything, we'll do the keep the social distancing, but I hope that they allow them to start the racing even if we're not allowed to enter. We can sit in our RV and tailgate in the parking lot.
There you go.
That's and still it. Cook. That's right there, idea. Live.
That's a good idea. And, you know, I think it all worked pretty good. We're all growing, you know, hopefully soon by leaps and bounds. And, you know, Steve certainly has control on the harness industry. You know, there's probably, you know, nothing he couldn't answer. You know, we want people to start calling in and asking him questions, you know, about that, you know, about the harness industry. And so, what do you think, Steve? Are you ready for it?
I'm ready. I'm ready for it. I was ready for it years ago.
I know.
But no, it sounds exciting, and to be able to cook up all these dishes and to show everybody how they can just, you know, simple enough with their RV or if they're just for any tailgating, and they can blow their friends away with some of the recipes that Pam's going to have us cooking.
Right. That's right.
Now, Steve, when you were at Freehold, did they have any, like, a themed weekend where they had their big steak race and all?
Yes.
Okay, what was that?
And it fits Chuck Wagon perfectly. For 7 years, we held the New Jersey State Chili Cook-Off at the track the weekend that we held the first major Grand Circuit trot race leading towards the Hamiltonian called the Dexter Trot for the Colts, and we had the Lady Suffolk for the Phillies. But on that Saturday, we would draw anywhere from 5,000 to 7,000 people because we had 50, 60 chefs cooking chili and country music bands and dancing and all sorts of great stuff. Plus, on the racetrack, we had the best 3-year-old colt trotters in the world. So we were able to combine that all together and to have, you know, superior event.
Well, see, I think that we all together as a group, our ideas are starting to come together, you know, and, you know, Patricia Ann will be able to, you know, take this and, you know, create, you know, those weekends, those special events for us, you know, and special recipes and all. We'll get them on video as soon as we can and, you know, get to rolling with it. And then it'll give us something to look forward to. And, you know, Steve, a lot of pressure on you in the harness because, got a lot of big races coming up in Europe, and they're racing over there. So we got to see what we're going to do here.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, I'm hopeful that things start to get back to a little bit of a norm because the way it's going now, they're eventually going to close the tracks. There's no ands, ifs, or buts about it. It's but we're going to keep moving forward because, number one, I want to do more chuck wagons. That's why. I want to see what's going on.
Well, I have a question, Steve. I have a question for you. Is there anyone that we could contact or we could encourage people to contact to try to suggest, hey, can we get these tracks going even if the people can't go, like you were talking about before? Just let them run the race and
have the races.
Grooms, and then we will watch online or from our RV somewhere or wherever we are. Could that be a possibility or could we?
Well, it could be, but what's happening in harness racing, the same as the thoroughbreds and quarter horses, each state comes up with their own mandates. So right now in Florida, Pompano Park has canceled racing. But Gulfstream is still going on. Tampa Bay Downs has canceled. In New York, all the tracks have canceled except for Saratoga and Aqueduct. So you need to call your congressman, your legislator, and tell them, hey, you know, we enjoy the horse racing, and you know, please don't stop it. We realize we can't go there and watch it live, but we want to watch it on TV. And that would be about the best thing that they can do is get a hold of your assemblymen, your legislators, and let them know so they can pass the word up north, or up the ladder per se, and keep the racing going, because there's too many bad effects, because there's just too many tens of thousands of horses, grooms, trainers, and stuff that need to take care of these horses. And if they're going to have to do it for months on end, they're definitely going to need government help.
Well, guys, we're right at the end of our show
here.
We're right here at the end of our show. Patricia Ann, thank you. We're looking forward to all your meals.
You're welcome.
You're going to be done and everything that you're
doing. It'll be great.
Steve, it'll be great.
Well, we're all looking forward to it.
Yeah. And so maybe we should close by saying, may the meals be with you. Tune in to Chuck Wagon on IE.
Okay, take care, folks.
I love that.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Patricia. Bye now.